at 864-886-9080 to make sure you're all set to eat what you love during the big game.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
It's time for Out of Bounds.
Two beauties!
With William Quackenbush.
Slow your roll. The show goes till three, loser.
And Ben Milstead.
My gosh, we need an intervention for you.
Be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold him out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson. Touchdown! Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold.
Clemson's going to the Elite Eight.
Out of Bounds.
The center fielder at the wall.
It's out of here. It's out of here.
Got the distance. Does it have the accuracy?
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
It's time.
All right, let's do this. Match point, touchdown, etc.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We are live on the Roar on a Tiger Tuesday, live inside the cab. Here in Clemson, William Quackenbush, Ben Milstead here on Out of Bounds. Sam Jones manning the controls back in the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. In this hour, we have Walker Parks. Who's going to join us in moments. He's doing big media downstairs. He will come up and join us here in the first segment probably for a few minutes. We will give you Tom Allen's press conference live as well. That is scheduled for about 12:30 this afternoon, so be aware of that. We'll carry that and then have lots of commentary there. Maybe a player or two in addition that may come as well in the second hour of the show, and lots of commentary on what was a fiery and spirited Dabo Swinney press conference today. Ben Milstead, happy Tuesday. How are you, sir?
Quack, I am fine. And look, I didn't get fined just today. I was born in 1971, and, you know, I was fine back then. In 1977, moved from Asheville to Central North Carolina, and, I mean, I was still fine.
That was awesome.
In 1989, you know, came to college. Hey, was still fine, buddy. So, you know, I've been fine for a long time. I'm just saying. I didn't get fined just today, okay?
That's just the poor Walker Parks.
Walker's
just
like, what
there
the heck
lobby,
did I just walk in
and
on?
And Dabo's like, Chapter 9, 2017. I swear, at one point, I was like, Dabo's recording an audiobook right now. He just used the press conference to record the audiobook of the Dabo Swinney era at Clemson. It took me till about 2015 before I realized, oh, we're doing every year, like specifically, down the line. I'm sure Walker Parks has never heard the unabridged history of Clemson football from Dabo in a team meeting. I'm sure that's never come up.
A couple times.
What's up, brother?
What's up? How we doing?
I'm good. Do you feel like you could pretty well go through it, like check a lot of the boxes of the Dabo Swinney perspective on his Clemson career?
I think depending on the time of the year and the situation that we're in, I think I could give up and probably give a team meeting. I think I could get up in front of guys and probably give a speech. That's what playing 10 years of college football does, and fortunately been under the same head coach the entire time. So I've got a lot of wisdom, and I've got a lot of Swinneyisms that are in this head.
You know, Dabo did at one point in the press conference, he was talking about a Syracuse lineman, and I was like, I need to look this up. He says it's in his eighth year, and I actually did the count. I knew you were coming today. I was like, how many years has Walker been here? Because somebody, Fran Brown might be like, they got a lineman who's like 31. So I don't know about that.
So is that verified? This is his eighth year?
Eighth year.
Now, is this eighth year? Really? Now, obviously, he's probably going to miss a few here and there. Is this 8 years at Syracuse? Is this kind of –
So it
That's
was
a long time.
2018 he played as a true freshman at Florida.
Wow.
He missed 2019.
2018.
Oh, yeah. He missed 2019. Literally, Trevor Lawrence's freshman year, this guy was a freshman. Uh-huh. Still in college. Trevor's like a quarter billionaire. So 2019 he misses. 20 is COVID, doesn't count. One of the other years he didn't play but four games, so he gets the red shirt.
Okay.
Like, he probably got a medical in 19, then a legitimate red shirt. Transfers to Cal, plays 2 years Cal, and then now he's at Syracuse.
How about that?
Guy's like 28 years old. Man.
Yeah, that's a lot of college football. So that's tough on the body. So I can only imagine, you know, he's got me beat by 2 years. I can't imagine how he feels.
Golly. Well, how do you feel? Your health has been
incredible,
in the news, if you didn't know.
Knock on wood, God is great. I feel good. Got rolled up in camp, nothing too out of the ordinary. I rolled my knee up, but, I mean, it wasn't the major thing. It wasn't the ACL, so just needed a couple weeks. Unfortunately, I missed the 2 games of the season. I really hate that. I was able to log a couple snaps versus Troy. I got about 9 plays. Still felt good. It was kind of tough with the rain delay, getting, you know, warm up, and then we sit there for 45 minutes and go back out. But the plan for that game was kind of see how it feels and get out there and move around a little bit. I didn't intend to play the whole game at Troy, so. Feeling great now. Like I said, knock on wood. You know, I have no issues. I've had issues with the ankle, the knee, the shoulder in the past, but there's no pain. So, you know, I was very pleased to wake up after the Georgia Tech game and really feel nothing at all. But it's been a while since that's happened. So, in a very good spot.
We all know that you've got an extensive injury history. You've dealt with a lot in your college career. I know you've had some really low moments. And I'm curious, when you sort of just get nicked, does something different happened in your brain when you've had some worse injuries and you've had some stuff and you're like, okay, this feels minor, but it might not be. Do you have those moments of doubt?
Yeah, there was definitely a moment of doubt with my knee. Like I said, you know, I play offensive line and I play football, so it's expected to have stuff throughout the season where, since I've been here, you might break a finger or you might jam your wrist or something, you know, the minor stuff that happens week to week, or you might get hit in the ribs or something like that. But being out there during the first scrimmage, I felt my knee kind of pop when I rolled over, and it got real stiff. And, you know, immediately my head went to ACL. I was like, come on, man. I was like, not like this. I was like, please don't let it be over now just in the scrimmage. But, you know, got the MRI pretty quick that night and got the results back and figured out it was just PCL and LCL sprain. So just took a couple weeks. And, you know, there's a second of doubt, but I went to the sidelines. I started praying. And, you know, I was just like, God, if this is the way that it's supposed to be, then I understand. But, you know, I would really appreciate you letting me finish here. And, I know I've been here a long time, and we've had this conversation a few times, but, you know, I don't want it to end like this, so if you could just let me finish out my senior year, and fortunately got the good news, and I'm back playing now. So, you know, there might be a little doubt, but I know that regardless of what happens to my body physically on the field, like the overall plan is I'm good and God is great, so I don't stress about it too much.
That's great to hear. That's awesome. Visiting with Walker Parks here on the program. I'm curious this too. I mean, you know, you go from 9 snaps against Troy, and then you got a couple other dudes out.
Yeah.
All 5 of you guys play all 63 snaps.
Yeah.
Not a single sub. What was that like? Series after series, down after down, where it ain't just you, it's everybody. Y'all are in it together, and you're in it for the long haul.
I'm going to be honest, dude. I felt great. I was just so excited to be back on the field, and I was so amped up to go on a road game and go play that I didn't even think about my body. I didn't feel anything. I didn't, you know, like I said, everything's good in my body. Like, ankle, knee, shoulder, everything's been feeling good. So when we took the field, I was just so ready to play football that 63 plays, 100 plays, 20 plays, I was just ready to go. And I know that we had a couple guys down, and I knew I was going to have to play the whole game entirely. So I was ready for that mentally and physically. And that's what – if I have to do that every single game, play every single snap, I'm ready for that. Like I said, I've got 9 more guaranteed games of football in my career, and then I might never play a game again. So I would prefer to play every snap. You know, I know it gets kind of concerning with my body over the years, and I think that we've also got some guys that need to get in there and play because they've earned it, and we have a lot of great players on the offensive line. But like I said, 9 more opportunities guaranteed to me. I want to play every snap possible that I can.
There's an accountability with that, right? Where people are constantly like, "Hey, can you?" Because if you can go, like, you gonna go.
Absolutely.
And so you know, when people are looking at you like that, and they're going, "Hey, you good?" Because if you're good, we can put you right back out there. There's an accountability. What is that like internally when you get that belief communicated from somebody else to you?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I'm always ready to go, and that's what I know. And 23, I was not good to go. My ankle had the issues, had to get that resolved. But every single game, I'm ready. Like, I am physically and mentally ready to play every single snap. And the thing is, over the last couple of years, like, we've had Harris Sewell come in, and we've had, like, right on the brink of 6 or 7 guys that could be starters for us. And it's not necessarily I go out there and it's like, all right, well, I can't go the whole time because I'm hurt or whatever. It's like these guys are playing because they're good players and they deserve to play. And so we get in kind of like a rotation. Like, once we get everybody back, we'll have some guys rotating in, and we've got some depth now. So we have to utilize that depth. And, you know, it's a long season and hopefully extends even longer into the postseason. So you got to get guys rotating, keep guys healthy. So, but I mean, you know, like I said, if they come up and they're like, hey, we need you to play 100 plays Saturday, like, all right, let's do it. I'm ready to go.
I'm curious your thoughts on this, because I think the fan sentiment after a 1-2 start is like, We want to hear somebody step up to a microphone, or we want some leaked audio of people just going absolute scorched earth, and they're just letting everybody have it, talking about how bad everyone sucks.
Yeah.
So walk us – there have got to be those conversations, right?
Yeah.
To some degree. What is the balance? As somebody who's been in a lot of locker rooms winning and losing,
yep.
What is the balance of, hey, this is not good right now, and we are better than this. Let's go be better
absolutely.
Than this.
I mean, there's a high level of accountability. There's nobody in this building saying that this is good enough. There's nobody watching the film that we're putting out in our meetings being like, all right, you know, like, this is good. We'll keep – like, we're 1-2 to start off the season. We're not playing at a high level that we're capable of, and we have to change it. It's on film, and it doesn't come down to – it's not coaches. I know everybody wants to point blame and say, you know, we have to do something different here. We have to do something different there. It's – the coaches have put us in such a great position to win, as well as the strength coaches. We're all in shape. We're all strong. We're all physical. And we have a great scheme every week. And at the end of the day, it's up to the players. We have to go execute, and we have to do that. And so, you know, there's some intense conversations that we have in the building. But at the same time, I've been here for 2021. I've been here for 2023. It's not the way you want to start a season. You know, I never want to lose a game. That's what I hate losing. I'm such a competitive person, but it's a part of the sport. And, you know, I tell the guys all the time, like, not all the time, but I've told them this week and getting ready to get back right, focused on the next opponent, is everything that we want is still in front of us. So our team goals, the only one that we can't hit now is win the opener. We lost the opener, that's done. We're still climbing the same mountain. It just got a lot steeper. There's a lot less room for mistakes, you know, and everything like that. So it's kind of check the mentality at the door. If you want to be a part of this and be a part of this, it's 1-2. So, I mean, call it what it is. It's going to be a gritty season. We're gonna keep getting better, and we're gonna keep fixing the mistakes that we've made. But at the end of the day, we're 1-2. We have a loss in the conference, so might need some help. Like last year, we got Syracuse knock out Miami and get us in the door. So we might need some of that this year. We might need another league opponent to lose. But at the end of the day, the only thing that we can focus on is Tuesday practice. Today is Tuesday. It's inside run. It's physical. It's hitting. So that's where my mind is at today. I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna watch more Syracuse. I'm going to go put my pads on, get taped up. I'm going to get ready for today, because you can't look too far down the road. Like, it's all still there, but, like, nothing happens. Like, I'm locked in on this week, focused on this week, because that's all I can do. And that begins with today.
Last six quarters, Adam Randall has looked very comfortable.
Yeah.
And he's gotten sort of lathered up. Now, some have said that running behind Walker Parks makes it easier. I would ask you, what have you seen from Adam as somebody who is paving the way in front of him, maybe when you go back and watch the film, that makes you excited to block for him again?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that makes me excited is he's one of my good friends. So, love Adam Randall. He's a great dude. He's a great player, and he cares. It means a lot to him, like it does me, and you can tell that in the way that he plays and the way that he acts and his leadership around the building. So, he's a vocal leader. There's not many guys that are willing. You go up to him and say, hey, I know you're playing wide receiver right now. You want to switch and play running back, and he'll do it with a smile. And he doesn't complain. He just goes to work every single day, and he's getting better and better. And, you know, he's an incredible player, and that's what – I take so much pride in playing offensive line, and I have so much joy in doing so and playing the position that I do. And when you're blocking for a guy like Adam Randall, it makes it even more enjoyable. So he's an incredible player. He's an incredible leader. And, you know, we're just going to, like I said, keep climbing.
What's the point of emphasis this week? Like, if you get trying to get 1% better or whatever the cliche is you guys are using, what's the point of emphasis that you want to accomplish on Saturday?
Win the game. Absolutely. Learn how to finish and win the game. That's the focus right now. But how do you do that? So if you look back, we're a couple plays away in each game playing close. So it just comes down to the details. Every single drive, every single play is a game winner. It doesn't matter if it's the first play of the game. This could be the play that wins the game. So it's having a sense of urgency and going out there and being ready to execute and finish the details that it takes and having that mentality. And so how do you do that? You do it in practice. Like I said, going out there today and being ready to hit, being ready to be physical, but also doing that with the details and the mindset that this could be practice makes permanent. That's something we talk about all the time in the offensive line. And so going out and doing it in practice, it will carry over to the game. So going out today and being, you know, super efficient and having a sense of urgency, that's the number one thing for me today.
Fans lose their mind. The Clemson fan base loses their mind when Coach Sweeney says that, you know, one play away. How does he use that, though, with practice? Because it sounds like you're saying the one play away is just, hey, if you loaf on this play, that might be the play that turns this game. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it comes – some games come down to one play. Like, we just lost on a walk-off kick. And, you know, like I said downstairs, Georgia Tech is a good team. They're a gritty team. They've got a great head coach. They've got a great quarterback. I thought their offensive line played really well. And so there is no excuse. There's no excuse saying, oh, we're close. You know, close doesn't count. We lost. So there's definitely, I'm not making an excuse for that. Definitely nothing along those lines, but you have to treat every play like it is the game winning play. Like I said, every drive, cause you don't know what's going to happen. Like if you're not sprinting to the ball, and it gets knocked out and the ball comes out, defense recovers it. Well, if I'm sprinting to the ball and it gets knocked out and I recover it, well, the drive's still alive and we're still moving. So there's so many different outcomes that can happen on each drive and each play that you just have to be given 100% effort each time.
This is kind of a hard question, but I'm curious about this. Your head coach sat in the press conference, and he agreed with the sentiment from a reporter that asked him, is this all about this team learning how to win? And I do think that we sort of took that for granted because you've got guys on this team that have won multiple conference championships, that have played in playoffs, that have done all these things. Does it really start over for every game? Or like what is the process of a team learning how to win when a lot of the players are returning from teams that presumably have done some winning?
Yeah, I think that is a tough question, but I think the best way to answer that is don't ever lose the respect for what it takes to win. Winning is not an easy thing to do. I mean, at the end of the day, you're lining up out there versus other college teams and guys that have been busting their butts since January and getting ready for the season. So, I mean, there's no easy way to win a football game. And, you know, you can look at the talent that we have, but at the end of the day, a lot of other teams are talented as well, and they want the same thing that we want. So, having the respect for what it takes to win, and like I said, that's giving maximum effort in every single thing you do. That's your sleep, that's your nutrition, that's the way you practice, it's the way you recover, and, just focusing on that right now. And, nothing carries over from last season. You know, we won a lot of games last season, but that don't count for this season. So, you know, you could say it restarts, but I think it restarts every single week. You know, nothing carries over. If I had a bad game last week, that don't mean I'm going to have a bad game this week. If I had a good game last week, that don't mean I'm going to have a good game this week. So just keeping that 1-0 mentality and focusing on each and every day as a way to restart. And, you know, don't ever take winning for granted.
You're the best, man. Walker Parks, thanks for joining us. Hope you stay healthy, man.
We
love it. 63 good snaps against Georgia Tech. It may take that many on Saturday against Syracuse.
That's
thanks,
all right.
Man.
I'm ready for it. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. Short break. We'll come back. Tom Allen on the other side after this.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments including pills, chews, and more. 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't plantain. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it crust. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, plantain.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around the baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turf grass management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Overwhelmed by Medicare? Alone? Maybe a bit scared?
Don't worry, we've got you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
I'm having such a great time tailgating, but now's the moment to go.
Go where? The game's an hour away.
I need the porta potty.
Thankfully, that's never a problem at Death Valley. Unless the lines are too long.
Little John Portable Toilets have been serving Clemson football games for over 25 years. Their toilets are orange, which gets fans fired up for the game, and they are super clean. They even have restroom trailers. Whether construction or special events, Little John is the go-to. LittleJohnToilets.com. That's LittleJohnToilets.com.
Strong industries build strong communities. For over 35 years, Industrial Motor Service has kept the upstate's factories, farms, and utilities running, powering everything from clean water to packaged goods to everyday essentials. Trusted by the region's leading manufacturers, IMS repairs and replaces critical equipment. Motors, pumps, and gearboxes of every size. Because when industry thrives, our community thrives. IMS, keeping the upstate moving. Learn more at industrialmotorservice.com.
The show continues after this quick timeout. Man, we're really having a great show today.
You know it. Hey, you coming to my house for the game?
No, because your toilet always backs up, man.
Yeah, but I'm calling Ace.
Okay, it was like 82 degrees in your house last time, and we kept popping that breaker.
That's why I'm calling Ace tomorrow.
The hardware store? I mean, you can't even use a screwdriver.
No, Ace, the one in the white and blue trucks.
Oh, right on. Okay, we're back.
For plumbing, electrical, and HVAC, visit acehomeco.com.
Life doesn't wait, and neither should you. Aleve can help you deal with pain less throughout your day. Whether it's a long day on your feet, a demanding workout, or everyday aches and pains, you need relief that can keep up when pain persists. Aleve is here for you with longer-lasting body pain relief compared to leading OTC-branded pain relievers. With just one pill, Aleve lasts up to 12 hours. Don't let those aches hold you back from doing what's important to you. Use as directed.
Huge savings on Dell AI PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors are here, and they're newly designed to help you do more faster. They can generate code, edit images, multitask without lag, draft emails, summarize documents, create live translations, and even extend your battery life. That's the power of Dell AI with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
We go together, better than birds of a feather, you and me. We change the weather, yeah. I'm feeling heat in December when you found me. I've been dancing on top of cars and stumbling out of bars. I follow you through the dark, can't get enough. You're the medicine and the pain, the tattoo inside my brain. And maybe you know it's obvious. I'm a sucker for you.
All right, hour one continues out of bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead live inside the cab, inside the Poindor practice facility, inside the Reeves complex here on the campus of Clemson University. Appreciate Walker Parks. That was phenomenal. I have thoughts and opinions on that. First, I know I have thoughts and opinions on Nick Lavery Law, mostly that he's the bomb.com. If you need somebody who knows the law and will be on your side, those feel like prerequisites, but that's not always what you're getting from your attorney, especially if you're charged with a DUI. If you're a parent of someone who's got an MIP or a DUI while they're at college, man, that's hard. Parenting's hard anyway. But what if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law? What should you do next? Nick Lavery's here to help. Clemson's local attorney. He's been defending people in this area for a quarter of a century. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Nick Lavery's here to help you and your child during these dark moments. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680. That's 864-654-3680. Or visit online at nicklaverylaw.com. roarfm.com. Ben, we were talking about this during the break. As we await Tom Allen, we expect him at the podium any moment now. Walker Parks, it seems to me, is the exact right person to put in front of a microphone after a 1-2 start where there's a lot of negative energy surrounding the program. Not just because he's old and an offensive lineman, but the perspective that he has on the program and life is, I think it makes his message really ring true to people, even skeptical people who are inclined to not just believe what's coming out of the program.
Yeah, people ask me quite often, you know, well, what was the tone over there? Or, you know, what was the tone after the game? And I think a lot don't believe me when I say it's almost always the same. You know, I think there's this belief that everybody's gloom and doom after a loss and partying after a win, and it's just not the case. Don't listen to Walker Parks or listen to Walker Parks and try to figure out if that was after a win or loss, you know. I mean, he was jacked.
Oh, yeah, he was very excited. I'm going to tell you this. He's excited about the opportunity to play.
Yeah, and I asked him as he was leaving, I said, you feel like you have a renewed appreciation for football after the little injury scare? He said, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. And you know that he talks to his teammates about that. I mean, he's absolutely one of the leaders on this team.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, you lose Antonio Williams, and obviously there's a detrimental effect on the team. You lose Khalil Barnes, there's a detrimental effect on the team. Walker Parks, with the stage that he is in his career and some of the issues in terms of his health physically and all that stuff, to me, his presence is important. His leadership is important on the offensive line. And I think we saw that Saturday where the offensive line really played their best game. I'm told that Tom Allen is getting ready to speak inside the room. I just got a text about it from downstairs. We will carry Tom Allen. Here he is live.
All right. Defense has done through these first three games, and then maybe separate out the games and how you feel about it?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously what's fresh in your mind is what you just played, and so just disappointed, not discouraged, but disappointed in the inability to get off the field and give our offense the ball back so we can go win the game. So that's just what we're supposed to do. And so that was, you know, that's the fresh response to that. Didn't feel like that. Just the execution to me in all three games. At times it's been good, but it's not been consistent enough for me and for obviously what we have to be able to have to be the defense that we want to be, and I believe that we can be. So I think that that's the focus for our guys right now, is being able to disrupt up front, tackle extremely well, and create takeaways. And we didn't get any takeaways in the last game, and that was a big issue. That we needed. We needed that for our team. And I think that's a real focal point for me right now. We got two in the first game. We got three in the second game. Should have had four in the second game. And our goal is three a game, which I know is a high goal, but that's what our goal is. And we just need one in that one to get to be able to get off the field in those key situations and get those key stops, you know. So, but when we think about each game, you know, to me it was about, I thought we started strong. You know, I do feel like in game one, even in game two, I want to see us play more guys. I just think that's it's healthy for everybody. I think it showed up a little bit in that third game in those last couple drives. So I just think that's a big part of being able to have the depth that you want to finish games and then finish the season the way you want. And I've talked about that with our guys from day one. And part of that is us developing enough depth to be able to have guys that are ready to play in multiple positions to be able to allow that to be the case. And I'm a big believer in that. You know, when you play a team like this coming up, it's plays a lot of tempo, gets a lot of snaps. You know, averages, you know, they've had over 90 snaps in a game and in the 80s for average. And so that, to me, is a big deal. And I think that kind of summarizes some things for me, because I want to be able to be at our best in the fourth quarter. And, you know, we had a lead in this last game, and that's, to me, that's on us. That's on the defense to finish the game. And period, point blank, talk to our guys about that. We know that, talk about it even during that situation, during the game. And once we got the lead, then that's our responsibility to make sure that they don't score, we win the game. You know, and so that's the mindset I want us to have. I want us to take pride in that as a defense. I want us to attack that. So we've been okay at times, not good enough, in my opinion, and did not play to the standard on Saturday. And so when you don't get the results that you're looking for, you know, you continue to look at things and evaluate and just keep find ways to make changes that are going to allow you to have better success next time. I think our guys have played hard, and we've tackled well most of the time, but we did miss some key tackles in this last game. And so you can say that for each of the few in the first two games as well. It's not been a massive issue, but it's been, to our standard, to me, it needs to be better. And that's all, especially in the perimeter, you know, on the perimeter and being more physical in that perimeter, to me, is just an edge you got to have and play with. So the overall summary is done some good things, but obviously not good enough. And we see that. We accept that as coaches, and that's our responsibility to get our guys in position to make those plays. And then when they do, they got to make them.
Linebacker, particularly Sammy Wade, have kind of shared the bulk of the snaps.
Yeah, you know, they've done a really good job. You know, I think that both times they've each kind of shared and having maybe a better game than the other, but none of them, but they've all played very solid football, and I want them to be elite, and I think they have the potential to be elite. I once again want to see us play some more guys there as well. I think that's healthy for a lot of reasons, a lot of things, but I think those two guys have played at a high level, and they're taking a lot of ownership of running the defense, and that continues to grow each and every game just because of the experience and understanding the system better and being able to articulate that to their teammates on the field and make checks and adjustments and just play with that total confidence to be able to, no matter what the offense does, those guys can get us in the right call, get us in the right fit, get us in the right situation if we have a check or not. So very, very, you know, I'm pleased with Sammy and Wade. We just got to keep building, keep getting better.
On the defensive line, y'all are rotating after a couple of plays. Is that, given that, you know, LSU possessed the ball for so long in the second half, Troy, I think, had the ball 14 minutes in the last two drives, and then Georgia Tech, is it producing the desired results up front?
Well, I will say this, and to the point, we want to be able to play. I've said it already. We want to be able to play a lot of guys, you know. So when you sub them, you know, sometimes it happens to be when they, if they late sub, you know, we will sub. You know, we'll count that to be able to strategically utilize that component. But I think there's also just kind of a getting in a rhythm of how you want to get guys in and out. And so to me, I want guys obviously to play. You know, we have a certain, you know, parameters for each position. We say, hey, this is an ideal number of plays that a guy can play, you know, with this body weight and this type of guy. And how so we can play that level for 60 minutes. And so obviously the challenge is because you never know what's going to unfold in the second half. But you do need to be able to play, especially in the first half, play lots of guys and be able to get a good amount of guys reps. That obviously helps their talent and their technique be developed, and also allows our guys to get some good solid breaks. But yeah, we as a staff got to do a really good job and just continue to get better at making sure we got the right guys in there at the right time. But I am committed to playing a lot of guys because of what I've said. You know, you play, you know, the style of offense that we have. You know, obviously when we're scoring points, you want to be, you know, they may be explosive plays. You may be out there in a very efficient way, you know, and so obviously, and sometimes they don't, and so you're still out there efficiently. So that's part of being built that way, and I think that's part of playing today's game and the way that it's played and the tempo that you play with and the style of play that you have. And so obviously, you know, we've been out there too much. Sometimes it's just because we haven't gotten enough stops, so that's on us, you know. So, but at the same time, that is the thought process of going into be able to say, okay, we got to make sure that we have our best players on the field at critical times, and obviously at the end of the game.
The last couple of weeks, you've had a couple of communication issues, I guess, on the coaching staff, but it's allowed to a big play to happen on the field. How have you addressed that? And is that something to do maybe because this is the first time you guys are working together, a lot of you? You got a couple of young guys, too, out there that haven't maybe been down there on the field in that situation?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing has been, you know, the young guys, you know, being in the position for the first time. You know, we got, you know, a couple of safeties that played a ton of reps. This is their first time starting. Obviously, a Tiger that's a first time starting. And those situations, those opportunities come up. And obviously, the players playing in a new system early in the season, I think that could be a variable as well. So, but I just think that, you know, we don't have a complex amount of checks in our system, but we do have some, and we do have some things that have happened at critical times where you got to be able to execute. And so I think part of it is kind of a combination of inexperienced guys and some you know, because the safeties in our defense are a big part of what we do, you know, and so they do communicate a lot and have to make adjustments. And, you know, not having Khalil, you know, predominantly throughout the first three games has been a challenge in some ways. And so it's forced other guys to have to maybe be in more of a verbal role than they maybe might be prepared for in their development. So but we got to, as coaches, do a great job with that and help with that. So, but I think it's a combination of both of those and just being able to be confident in our checks and adjustments. Because obviously, it's those critical times when you got to be at your best, when you got to be able to, you know, whether the crowd noise or whether it's the ability for us to, you know, understand the formation and the motion and what they give us and be able to make those adjustments with confidence. So I just expect that to get better and better.
Right time. I think the beginning of that 90-yard drive against Georgia Tech, I think it was the second string line. I mean, is that one of those situations?
Yeah, it's not really. That's where you don't really want to sub it to where it's first group, second group. It should be intermingled enough to be able to have that. And so that balance, I think, is something we got to make sure the staff that's equaled out to where you have enough experienced guys out there. There's no doubt the style of play that we were involved in allowed certain D linemen to be more of a positive for that style of offense we're playing against, you know. So, but I think you want to do a good job. They were getting a lot of snaps from some key guys, and you know, I thought, you know, Peter played too many snaps, you know, and so for a guy that's 300-plus-pound guy, and so to me, that's just part of us being able to. So, when do you make those, you know, subs? That's the critical point to all that, and obviously you get a long drive and want to see us be able to, you know, even in that situation, you have to sub your backers out, you know, in a 10, 12, 14 play drive. You know, the guy can't stay out there for 14 straight snaps, in my opinion. So that's something we got to get better at as a coaching staff, and that's my responsibility, and I think that we will for sure. But at the same time, I want to play these guys, and these guys work hard, they deserve to play, and now they got to perform. If they don't do their job when they're out there, then obviously you got to, you know, hold them accountable to that. But at the same time, I want to see us play. I have a good rotation of guys, play a lot of players, and let them have the opportunity to compete and play and help us win.
In your mind, you know, and that's why some of those edge plays, perimeter plays are working, because you're soft out there. Is that just, hey, that's all technique? Is it technique?
It's a lot of techniques. I think
it's both.
Yeah, I think, for instance, I can think a couple in my head right now. I can just visualize from the game to where it was the lack of reaction to either the call or the formation. You know, to me, it's just you got to anticipate certain things. Now, we actually checked once a certain call that really, you know, we worked on, and that was what we wanted to be in, and we didn't pull the trigger, you know, from a certain one of our guys on the edge and the guy playing a tiger position. So it's just you got to, and that confidence is created through repetition, through the ability to master the system, and just to be able to just have that confidence to pull the trigger and go when you see what your key gives you. And so I think that's, you know, it's a combination of just, you know, more playing time. We got some guys there, they're just got to get better with their technique, and when you get better and when you're confident, you play more physical. So I don't think that they're, you know, soft players. I think that the soft play is created sometimes with hesitancy and lack of just enough good reps and playing with confident, great physical technique. And so I expect us to play better in that area without question. But I think, to me, a lot of those we lost some leverage just because of being out of position, and it's hard to be able to set your edge in a certain call if you're not where you're supposed to be physically. Well, that goes back to anticipation of the formation, maybe a motion, the movement, setting it up, trying to disguise it at times. And to me, that's all part of it. So I think it's not a simple one thing creates it, but I do think that our guys will continue to play with more physicality, but we got to improve on the edge. There's no doubt about it. And my, you know, it's the film is obvious at times on some of those. So, but to me, it's just about us continue, just like we just last night. You come back and then you get to work, and you focus on what you do well, and you keep making adjustments, and then sometimes you make some personnel adjustments. You just try to find ways to continue to allow guys to be able to be put in position, and when they get in those spots in those critical situations, they got to make plays.
Lewis and Kyle Griffin, they have experience. I'm just curious, your evaluation for what's holding them back, I guess, from more.
Yeah, I think, you know, Shelton had an injury, you know, in the offseason, and missed a lot. And then later in spring, actually both of them did. You know, they missed the last part of spring, and then it ended into the summer, and then came back in training camp. And so, to me, still being brought back from those, you know, setbacks, and to be able to get the reps and the confidence once again to play in a new system. So, and I want to see, but we need both of those guys to continue to grow and develop, because they have played in the past, and they do give you a chance to give you some really, really high, you know, high quality depth there is what I would expect from them when they're in there. And they're just, say, you're, whenever you play, whether it's as a first, second, third, whatever it happens to be, when you're on that field, man, you're a starter. Starter mentality, starter execution, and those are two guys that we need to step up. But I think the injury set them back without question, and, you know, they both had, you know, post-spring surgeries and just be able to go through those things. So I just think that that's kind of part of it. But at the same time, by week three, week four, I want those guys to be able to be in there, whatever part of the game happens to be, that they're helping us win the game at that point.
Is airing the conversations between officials on the field and the command center for people at home to actually hear the dialogue and hear what's happening. I know you guys have a great grasp being there of what's going on, but for fans at home, how important is that, maybe for fans to get a different perspective, feel like they're in the game like they were able to on Saturday against Georgia Tech?
You know, I didn't really know any of that. Don't watch the games in that mode, but whatever you can do to help the fans feel more engaged, I think that's a positive thing for the game. I guess it depends on how you want to look at it, from how the call went. It may affect your opinion about what transpired. So can they actually hear the conversation of the officials?
Yeah.
Okay.
The dialogue.
Gotcha. So, that'd be interesting to hear in some situations for sure. But I think it's we coach a great game, we play a great game, and I think the more that you have an opportunity for people to get interaction with it and kind of get an inside look at how things are talked through, it also creates some accountability, you know, for the people involved. I think that's a good thing, you know, for all of us. And at the end of the day, I mean, everybody just wants the call to be called correctly, you know, and I know it's obviously there's a huge perspective difference based on what glasses you're seeing it from, but at the same time, we want it to get called correctly. And so whatever we can do to create that helps that, I'm all for it.
I think Coach Sweeney said that TJ Parker's played good, but he feels like there's another level and a lot with that defensive line in particular. So what have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, you know, and to me, and it's one thing I will say too, you know, when you have a talented group of guys, especially up front, and we experienced this a year ago, is that people are going to have a certain game plan for you. You know, the goal is usually going to be to get the ball out quick, you know, so they can't get to the quarterback, you know, and you've seen a lot of examples of that, a lot of screens. We went through and just went through all of our third down calls, and there's a lot of screens, you know, and there's a strong and very intentional desire to get rid of the ball fast in the quick game. So between those two components and then running the ball sometimes on third downs, you know, which is, you know, that's affects your ability for those guys to make those, you know, game-changing type plays, sacks and TFLs. And so, but I do think there's another level for several of our guys to go to. And so to me, it's just about every week you just continue to you know, do things the correct way. You continue to evaluate yourself. You hold yourself to the standard of accountability, how you prepare, how you play. But sometimes plays come your way, sometimes they don't, based on how they're schematically attacking us and different things. So, but I'd love to see all those guys up front just take the game over, you know, at critical times. And, you know, when you get late in the game, and to be able to, the TFLs and the sacks and just end drives and create takeaways and allow you to be positioned to finish like you want to. And so I'd say the same for the linebackers and safeties and the corners and the Tigers, guys that we feel like that are our best, but your best players, you want them to play their best football, you know, and this stage of the season, we're not getting ready for game four. And so that's what I expect our guys to do, you know. We're now in to conference play completely here. And so the bottom line is I want those guys up front to be able to be playing their best football. And I expect them to. And so, and we got to do everything we can as coaches, put in those positions. And when we do, they got to respond.
But developing depth, where do you feel like you're at on the developing depth part, and what does that look like to
you?
Yeah,
I think it needs to be advanced. You know, I think that I want to see it linebacker. You know, I want to see more guys playing there. I want to see it at safety. You know, I want to see it at corner. You know, we're still working through, you know, the Tiger position, trying to figure out, you know, the best combination there. But to me, I think that we have played a lot of guys on the D-line, which is a good thing. And that serves multiple purposes. But I can't say that for the case at safety and linebacker, and want to see more of that and feel like I know we need that. You know, that's going to help us, you know, like I said, in, to finish games and to finish the season. And just obviously for overall development of your players, you know, allow them to be able to grow and see that progress. And I know everybody wants to play. We got a lot of guys that get a lot of practice reps and don't always get the same number of game reps that they prepare for. And sometimes that is just the nature of the flow of the game. And sometimes it's the nature of how we're playing on defense and how we're playing as a team, you know. So, but anytime you can play more guys, it's going to help you, without question.
Is Khalil Barnes
Where do you feel like he fits when and if you guys?
Obviously hope to get him back soon. You know, whenever that is, as soon as possible, and then we'll find out more this week. But special player. I mean, he just really fits. You know, he's a safety for us. Obviously, he can play the tiger position, can play safety position. Actually, can play all three. You know, came here as a corner and has that kind of skill set. But to me, really, the safety tiger position is really where he's has a chance to help us the most. And to me, it's about, you know, when he is healthy to come back, to be able to get him worked back in there and be able to impact his team, because you know, he really makes a difference from a communication perspective because of his experience, and he's really done a great job. I would say he knows the defense. I sit in all the meetings with him, and he's communicated at a high level, and so he understands. He studies film even when he's been out. He always knows every opponent, even though he's not expected to play the last couple weeks, and so just really, really excited about getting him back when that time comes.
Early in camp, on your list of, because you're thinking to yourself, guys, we can at least afford to lose, he would have been.
He was the top of the list. Yeah. Just because of what he can do, the position to be able to have the experience, and with how we're built structurally and how we play the game in this system, is that guy is critical. You know, he was, so I just think that's it's been a tough blow for sure, but he's working his tail off to get back.
You feel like you've done enough to affect the quarterback?
No. No, it's just, and especially this last game, you know, just didn't get him off schedule. You know, obviously one guy really kind of, you know, they had, I thought they had two really talented running backs, and they really weren't a factor in the game, but the quarterback obviously was, and just got to get, but once again, the ball's coming out, and there's a lot of play action off of that on the throws, and you're trying to do different things, but yeah, we got to do a better job. It's been a big focus this week, and that's a big part of what we do. It's what we're all about, and we got to do as a staff, and then, you know, extension-wise, as the kids play, we got to affect these quarterbacks in a higher level and allow us to be able to be the kind of defense I know I expect us to be, and we're going to be. Yeah, we just got it. To me, it's just a matter of you just kind of look at things, even how we're playing certain, you know, calls and adjust. I want to get allow his strengths to be magnified. So to me, it's about how we structurally play, and I will make some adjustments there to help him in that regard. And to me, we just got to do a good job of just, you know, putting him in position. And obviously, he's got to win those one-on-ones when we put him in that spot. And that's what you try to do. You try to create a one-on-one matchup with him on one of their offensive linemen or possibly a running back. And that to me is what we got to do, is really do a great job of creating those one-on-one situations, get more of those for him, and he's got to go win them.
I guess I heard that back in Indiana, when you're reinforcing takeaways, you actually had like footballs mounted to the walls that people would have to swipe at.
Oh yeah.
Have you done anything here in particular to?
Well, they're on the walls here, you know, in the meeting rooms, and so it's just about making it all about the ball. And everything we do, we have takeaway circuits, start every practice, and everything we do is about when we track the shots on goal every time we're, you know, striking at the ball, punching at the ball, raking at the ball. But once again, we didn't get any in this last weekend, so our meeting we had, first thing was, got to reemphasize takeaways, reemphasize the football. We got to get that ball from the offense. We got to knock it out of their hand. We got to be able to punch it, rake it, intercept it, scoop it. We got to get that football back for our offense so they can get in the rhythm and go score points.
Just a few more minutes, Coach. Last year, you moved from the field to the box. You still think the box is the right spot for you with this specific team?
I do. Yeah, you know, it's just every situation is a little bit different, you know, and if I ever get to the point and think it's not, then I'll make an adjustment. But at the same time, you know, I feel like that we have a lot of strong leadership from our guys, you know, and that's a big part of that, you know, the ability for those guys on the field to be able to, you know, just adjust. I will say this, you know, we had the situation, sudden change where we had to come back on the field and they had the ball, I think, on the plus 48 or 49, and man, what a great response. And so it's for moments like that, you want to make sure that you got the right mindset from your players, and I think we have a lot of maturity on our defense, and so I think that allows you to feel better about that, you know, because I want to be in position to get the best call and make the best adjustments from that spot to see everything better. And so if I ever feel like that we're not getting to that point, if it's not allowing us to be our best, then I'll make an adjustment.
Being the best tackling team in the country, I guess, so far in three games, how would you assess the team tackle?
Well, we're not where we want to be. You know, I still think that I think we've been a solid tackling team, you know, but we've had some key misses. And so I get it. You're never going to make every single tackle. I mean, they got athletes too that are on scholarship and do some good things at this level. But at the same time, I want to continue to emphasize, like, we have the guys that miss tackles. You know, for every missed tackle in a game, you got an accountability for that on Monday night's practice. And that's what's happened last night. And guys have several reps on our, you know, tackling, you know, drills to be able to get those again, and that just never stops. And so there's practice accountability, there's game accountability, and so we're going to keep emphasizing it. We have a tackle circuit each and every week, and emphasize the positioning. We tackle with our DBs as much as we possibly can in practice, you know, versus our scouts, and set up drills for that. So that's going to continue, and it'll be, you know, takeaways, tackling, and effort. So to me, it's been solid, but to me, it needs to be even better.
Five push-ups if they don't get the takeaway goal.
Yeah, so we have different takeaways. You know, we have the takeaway goals for practice, and so if you don't get the goal in a game or in practice, it's five for everyone we don't get. You know, and so we've gotten a lot in practice, and but yeah, we just, whatever it happens to be, it's a mental reality that, and certain things are more physically demanding than others. And once you get in the season, you're just more focused on trying to still make that a focal priority. But yeah, we just got, whatever we do, everything we have is a standard. There's an accountability piece to go with if you don't meet the standard.
Coach, thank you for your time.
You're so welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Go Tigers.
On Saturday, the Clemson Tigers will host the Syracuse Orange, and we've got you covered all day long right here on The Roar. Starting at 6 a.m. live at Burton Gallery inside Little John Coliseum, we've got the Ingles Tiger pregame show. Then at 9 a.m., it'll be the Tiger tailgate show with Faxon Childress and his crew. At noon, Don, Tim, and Reggie will have to call the game, and Dono, Clark, and I will take you home with the fifth quarter show. We are the flagship station for Clemson Athletics. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Sitting here today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. Everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security, do not call, as Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
Hartwell Village is your one-stop shopping experience at the intersection of Tiger Boulevard and Pendleton Road in Seneca. With 15-plus retail and dining locations, including Buff City Soap, Rack Room Shoes, Marshalls, Petco, Five Below, Uptown Cheapskate, and Ulta. Dine with friends at Tipsy Taco, Iso Iso Ramen and Boba, Five Guys, Longhorn, or Chipotle. And after a day full of fun, refuel before you hit the road at 7-Eleven. Hartwell Village wishes Clemson fans a happy shopping experience and a fantastic football season. Go Tigers!
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
It's time to give your lawn the attention it deserves with Carolina Top Dressing. Is your fescue looking thin? Our expert fescue overseeding service paired with aeration is just what you need. But here's the secret. Without top dressing, much of that precious seed goes to waste. Why? Because seed needs soil contact to grow. At Carolina Top Dressing, we make sure every seed finds its place, whether it's in the aeration holes or covered by our premium top dressing mix. Don't let your investment go to waste. Visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to book your service today.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights, AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms. 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main and Fountain Inn, 3085 Allen Bridge Road. Online, AMPMFarmsButcheryAndMarket.com.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam, blown-in, bat insulation, attic ventilation and air sealing, and crawl space insulation and encapsulations. Triple your savings with Koala Insulation of Greenville. Lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits through December 31st. Call today, 864-867-1779, and find out what you can save.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Anyone know a good plumber? It's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.